Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of James. We were there last week, so if you've got something already marked in there, turn there again. James, the third chapter. We have been continuing in a series on spiritual warfare, which seems very appropriate right now. I was going to share something with you this morning, but I'm going to save it for 2 weeks when we come back into the series and share with you a little bit about what's going on even in this country. We talk about persecution of Christians in the church as if it's somewhere out there. It's a third world issue. That doesn't happen in this country. Sure it does. It has been. It's just getting much more overt. It's getting much more aggressive and in our faces, and we need to know as Christians, how do we deal with that? So when I gave you the definition a couple of months ago about what spiritual warfare is, I don't really have to do that anymore. All you got to do is just pick up the paper, look at the news, investigate a little bit about what's going on, and you'll see how we are in the midst of a battle and it's increasing. But we walk in this without fear. You don't need to be afraid, church. You do not need to be afraid, but you have a choice in all of this. You have the choice of how you are going to live in the midst of all of the things that are going on. And now we're talking specifically about the warfare that we do and where the tongue plays a part in that. The Bible talks a lot about the words that we say. And I would think that for every single one of us, we can think probably not too far back in the past of a time that we were talking and saying things that we knew we shouldn't. You don't have to raise your hand. Don't go, okay, yeah, that's me. It's all of us. It's every single one of us. That's why James says it's so hard to control the tongue, and yet it has the power of what? Life and death. Has the power of life and death. And so in that, we must understand what it means to control the things that we say. Now, there is nothing I'm going to say this morning that I want to intentionally make you uncomfortable, but I hope you are. I hope you're uncomfortable this morning. I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit is going to bring conviction to your heart. Now, notice I didn't say condemnation. Jesus doesn't bring condemnation to us. He brings conviction in order that we then may be able to make the changes in the way that we do things. But in all of this, where does it begin? Where does it begin? It begins in the heart. Begins in your heart. That's where it starts. And that's why every single day, surrendering ourselves to God again is such an important part of how we live every day. Now, let me ask you this. Why is this such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal about the words that we say? I mean, is it truly, does it really have that kind of an impact? Or can we just sort of throw things away when we say them? Remember, I told you, how many times have you said something that you'll go, oh, I didn't mean that. I was just kidding. That's not what I wanted that to sound like. Well, I got news for you. The second you say it, it's out there. It ain't coming back. You've said the words. Now, see, I'm a very auditory person. This is something that Katarina has had to learn about me. Now, don't get nervous like I'm going to say stuff because she's not here. yeah, men, we get real brave when our wives aren't. Oh, yeah, I've got to take my wife. She's watching right there. Hi, honey. She's watching. But here's something Katarina had to learn about me. I am very auditory, so I not only listen carefully to what's being said, I listen to how it is being said. You know, the tone of your voice can change completely the words that you speak. Amen. I can say something to someone and it sounds like I'm being complimentary, but by the tone of my voice, you know I'm not. Sarcasm. That's a gift for some people. Some people have a spiritual gift of sarcasm. Okay, it's not a spiritual gift. As a matter of fact, sarcasm is usually pretty damaging when you use it. You got to be very careful who you speak to. Now, I realize that different people, you should speak in different ways. I've got a good friend of mine. He's a pastor out in Lancaster. He's my best friend. Dave and I have been best friends. He's preached at our church a couple of times. Many of you know who he is. He and I say things to each other that we could never say to anybody else because he's my best friend. And we also both know that if we ever say anything that crosses the line, although he and I, our lines were obliterated years ago, but if we ever said anything like that, we could say to each other, hey, I'm going to knock you out, you say that again. Okay, that's excessive. I'm much bigger than he is, which is always great. Always be the biggest. That's important. You want to get guys that are smaller than you to hang out. But see, when you speak to each other, not only the words, but the tone of your voice is so important. This all is about the tongue. So where did these words get this much power? It's easy. Go back to Genesis, the first chapter. And in Genesis 1:3, it says this. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So what was the first thing that God did? He spoke a word. He spoke. And when God speaks, there is power in those words. It was powerful enough to create something out of nothing. That's the creation of God. But he didn't stop there. It wasn't a one and done. So then you got Genesis 1, 6, 9, 14, 21, 24, 29. All of those verses all start with God said. So there is power in the words that you speak. Not because of you, but because God was the first one to speak. And so in that, we must understand that our words also carry tremendous power. It's not the power of God, but it is the power, James says, to bring life into a person or to bring death. Now, here's what I want to look at this morning. Because in the Bible, words are defined or placed into two specific categories, words of blessing and words of cursing. So let's go to James 3. Are you there? We read this last week, but let's read it again. James 3, starting the third verse. It says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. So what James has just done is to give two examples of what the power of the tongue is. He said, you take a bridle. How many of you ride? How many of you ride or have ridden? We got any horse people in here? Just a couple few. I've ridden a horse, I think, once. I don't like being in anything that can take me where it wants me to go, and I got no control. Those animals are massive, huge, when you sit on top of them. I don't like it. So I don't ride horses, unless it's at a carousel someplace. I'll sit on that one. I feel pretty good. But James says you put a bit into the mouth and you can take that massive animal and you can turn it by the mouth. He then says, well, what about a big, huge ship? Every single one of those are controlled by just a very relatively small piece of equipment that sits down in the water and one guy is steering it, get it to go wherever he wants to go. So he says this in verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. I don't ever want to talk again when I read that. I don't want to say anything to anybody. When I see what the potential is, if I'm not careful. Verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, my sisters, this should not be. Now this for me is one of the most powerful passages in all of Scripture because of what it means to us right now, today, in August of 2021. This was written back to early Jewish Christians, back just after Jesus was resurrected. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus, writing these words. But for me, it's as relevant right now in this moment as it is as any time that it's been written. And you know who it's relevant for? Not for the person next to you, not for your husband or your wife. It's relevant for you. It's relevant for me every single day. So I want to talk this morning just very briefly. Oh, you see, we're getting all nervous because I didn't take my watch off. He's not going to know what time it is. We're going to be here till 3 o'clock. Okay, there we go. All right, I'm good. Relax, Roxanne. I took my watch off. All right. Roxanne doesn't care. She'd like to stay for a lot longer than we normally do. That's all right. Blessings and curses are how the Bible identifies the words that we say to each other. So what I want to ask first is, who can curse you? Who can curse you? Why is it that you have to be concerned? And listen, we're not talking about foul language, profanity. We call those cursing. My mother taught me very early on. Now, I know all the words. I've had some of them said to me many times. I know all the words, but I don't use them because my mother ingrained in me that the people that used profanity the most were people that were of limited intelligence because they couldn't express themselves any other way. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. But for me, it was a challenge that I would learn to be able to express myself, my anger, my whatever it was, without resorting to profanity that generally offends people around you. At least it should. Now, I realize in our culture today, television programs are now integrating more and more profanity in them, if you've noticed that. Things that you could never say before. Now they're very common. It's a clear indication of where our culture is headed, unfortunately. So we're not talking about that. And we're also not talking about activities of the occult. In the occult, you can curse someone or place a curse on someone. We're not talking about that either. What we are talking about are words of cursing that can bring injury to the heart and to the mind and to the spirit of an individual. It hurts them by what it is that you're saying. So the first that can curse you, obviously, would be Satan. Satan loves to curse Christians. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, and you know this verse pretty well, I'm sure. It says, Satan is like a prowling lion, seeking who he may devour. Now notice it doesn't say getting those who he will devour. When Satan sets his mind on something or decides that he wants to get a particular person, that's no guarantee for him. Satan is not omniscient. He is not all powerful. And I keep saying that over and over because you've got to understand what place Satan has in this. He is powerful. He is a fallen archangel. He maintained a great deal of his abilities and his powers, but he is not the opposite of God. Because if you put Satan at the opposite of God, you put him on an equal plane. He's not. He was a created being, just like you, just like me, just like the angels, just like the demons. So don't give Satan more authority in your life. But he can curse you. He wants you to believe everything that is the opposite of God's scripture. He wants you to believe just the opposite. So if God says you're loved, Satan wants you to believe you're hated. If God says you're forgiven, he wants you to believe you will always be bound to your sins. You'll never be forgiven. If God wants you to believe that you have all authority to be victorious in this, Satan wants you to believe you got no chance. That's what Satan wants you to think. That's what he wants you to believe. So he will try to curse you. The second group of people is those around you can certainly curse you. That happens. People say nasty things to you, say things to make you feel bad. And I'll tell you, I think for me, I've learned the importance of speaking kindly to people as a pastor, because many times when someone contacts me to go and to be with them or to talk with them, they've had a difficult time, a difficult circumstance. 90% of the time I'd say, I am doing nothing more than just offering words of encouragement to them. I'm not going in there with, 37,000 scripture verses to go, okay, here's what you need to do. Read Psalm 119, verses 1 through 175, and then I want a book report on it later. See, those things aren't what's needed when someone's hurting. When someone's hurting, what they need are words of kindness and in love and encouragement. Amen. But the other thing about curses from people, it's not so much what's said to us. Because I've also learned not to care quite so much about what people say about me because I can't control it. Not everybody likes the way I preach. I understand that. Nor should they. Not everybody likes the way I cut my hair or the clothes that I wear. Can't believe that guy standing up there with a Band-Aid on his finger. Why doesn't he take that off? What's the matter with him? That's okay. But what I have learned is that I care what Jesus thinks about me. I care what my family thinks about me. I care about those closest to me. I care what they think. Outside of that, not so much. Because no matter how upset you get about what someone says to you, you can't change it one iota. You can't control. You can't do any of those things. But here's what you can do. And this is what Jesus spent time talking about in Luke 8. Jesus says these words. He says, bless those that curse you. Bless them. And see, this was a complete reversal for people in that day, because in the Old Testament, the teaching was what? Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Whatever you do to me, I get to exact from you to make it equal and even. Old Testament, that's how they lived. There's a whole raft of verses that tell you about if this happens, then that gets to happen. If this happens, then this is what has to happen. Some intense stuff. Then Jesus came. And Jesus said, wait a minute, we're going to look at this a different way. Because now, instead of revenge, instead of equity in this, now, when you're dealing with people, it's done out of love. It's done out of forgiveness. So now, if a person curses you, you bless them. If someone strikes you on the side of the head, what do? You wind up and clock them? No, it says you give them the other side. You go, okay, go ahead. If someone says they need your jacket, do you not only give it to them, but you also give them your shirt? If they say, can you go with me 1 mile, you not only go, but you go another mile. See, that's very different. And that's where people sometimes go, okay, listen, let's not get fanatical about this stuff. It's not fanatical, it's what God said. It's what Jesus said we are to live. And when someone speaks against you, instead of you speaking back in the same way, Jesus said, forgive them. Do you know what some of the wisest things you can do when someone is talking against you? Don't say anything. Who demonstrated that? Who demonstrated that? Jesus did. Jesus is standing before the Sanhedrin. He's standing before the religious leaders. He knows what's coming. They have one plan, and that's to kill him, so he'll stop saying the things he's saying. And when they were in there accusing him of all these things, it said he stood there silent as a lamb preparing to go to the slaughter. That's what Jesus did. Now, I don't know that any of us are going to be called to have to sacrifice our lives for our faith. I can't say you never will. I don't know that. But what I do know is this. When someone speaks a word of cursing against you for your belief, for the foundational element of who you are, for your refusing to become involved in the things of the world that are going on around, you speak blessing to them. That does two things. Number one, it pours blessing in a place that normally you would not do that. And it changes the environment. Once again, don't forget, God is more powerful than Satan. So when you speak the blessings of God over a situation or someone, that's going to change that circumstance. Does that mean they're going to stop saying the bad things? Maybe, maybe not. But what it will do is it will guard and protect your heart, because then you don't get pulled into it. How many times you've been in an argument with someone? Does it tend to digress as you go, or does it tend to escalate as you go? We know the answer to that. Aren't too many times that you've had a verbal argument with someone that you both tend to get quieter and more reserved? No. You start getting fired up. You get louder. You get more intense. I've got to convince this person how unbelievably wrong they are. And then all of a sudden it changes from just a concept, and now suddenly our hearts are involved. Our spirits are now being damaged. And I can tell you this, church, the more that you allow damage to come into your life and you attempt to damage others is how much weaker you are both becoming in order to stand in the face of what the enemy is bringing. To stand against the enemy. You want to be victorious in spiritual warfare? That's why understanding the importance of guarding the tongue becomes so important, because you will weaken yourself if you don't. The next group then that can cause cursing in your life, unfortunately, other Christians. Christians curse each other. Let me read you what James said. We just read this in the 9th and 10th verses. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we also curse humans who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. It should not be this way. Now notice, who is James writing to? He's not writing to pagans and heathens that don't know God. He's writing to other Christians. And he's telling them, listen, you can't be praising God on one hand and turning around and cursing other people, especially those that have been created in the image of Christ. Amen. I have been in churches, and you may have as well, where you may have been shocked at things people say about each other in the church. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that we don't struggle with things in here from time to time. I mean, again, you got different people. You're not going to like everything somebody does or the way they do it or their personality, all of those things. I understand all that. But that never, ever should allow us to begin to speak words negatively against a fellow brother or a fellow sister in the Lord. We wonder why churches have gotten weaker and weaker in these times. Certainly part of that is a compromise of the scripture. But the other thing too is that we have taken on the temperament of the world around us. I mean, if you want to see some nasty stuff being said, go on and read comments about what's going on around us when people start commenting on things. Oh my goodness, I can't read that stuff. It depresses me and I'm not even in the conversation and it upsets me. See, it shouldn't be that way. And that should grieve our hearts when that happens, because with the presence of Jesus, our desire should be kindness, gentleness, meekness, forbearance, love. But it's a choice. You have a choice every single time. Every time a situation occurs where now you've got a verbal response to make, you've got a choice to make before the words come out of your mouth. Every time. And see, too often what we do is that we excuse things away. Oh, I couldn't help it. It just was out of my mouth before I knew it. Yeah, you can. You can help it. You can help it. You say, Pastor Dave, come on, man. You don't know the situation. I don't need to. What I do know is that God has created in each and every one of us a mind and a heart and a spirit that function in a way that we do not lose control. God doesn't take control from us in our lives. As a matter of fact, I believe that when you become a Christian, you have more control over those things. Because now I have the presence of God in my life that allows me to be able that when I want to blurt that thing out, I catch it. Don't say it. Now, I don't have to say anything. But if I have to say something, I'm going to take a couple seconds and think about this before I let it go. Why? Because once the words are out there, they're out there. And you've damaged, you've hurt. You brought someone to a place where their hearts have been wounded. And see, James says it shouldn't be that way. Now, I know some of you might be sitting here going, Pastor Dave, I've never cursed anybody. I've never cursed anybody. I don't have to worry about this. Well, how about another word for it? What about when we gossip? What about when we're pointing out other people's faults or talking about other people's faults? What about when we feel that we need to come up and we need to correct somebody where they're wrong? I need to fix this. And see, the thing about correction in the church that Paul taught was that it has to be done in what?
Love.
In love. In love. Not in an effort to try to make sure that they understand, I know what I'm doing, I've got this thing licked, I've got this thing taken care of, or I'm angry about something that happened back here and I'm taking it out on them. No. Everything that is done within the brothers and sisters of the community of the kingdom of God is done in love. And then we take that same love and we take it out. Open up the windows, let the light in. Open up the windows, let your light out, so that people can see who you are in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Here's the last one. So Satan wants to curse us. People will curse us. Christians, unfortunately, will curse each other. And here's then, I think, probably the most damaging one, is that we'll curse ourselves. We talk badly, negatively about ourselves. There's a primary reason, I believe, why people can often not get over something in their life. They can't get victory over something. It's because they themselves speak the words that keep them locked right there. I can't. I won't. I'm not. All of these things, when we speak them over ourselves, you are speaking words of authority and power over yourself. See, that's why it's also so critical how we speak to children, how we speak to our grandchildren. There are a lot of adults walking around today that were wounded 50, 40, 60 years ago by a parent that said, you'll never, you're useless, you can't. I'm not talking about not disciplining your children. The Bible says you discipline your children, but it never says to say things to them that are going to hurt them and to bring them to the place where they're not believing the truth of who they are, a creation of God. You see, you've got to be so careful about what you say over your own life, church. And I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm not talking about that nonsense Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard. If I could talk to you about that for 15 minutes, you'd realize how absurd all of that was and is. It's a joke. But people bought into it. Why? Because they're looking for answers. Well, my friends, you have the answers. They're right here. And these are not answers based on some wild imagination or of the thinking of some person who is trying to garner things for themselves. This is given from the heart of Almighty God for you. Amen. To know how to live so that your home, your place of work, your time with yourself, with your family, with your children is one of peace because of the words that are being spoken. Now, not only are the negative words and curses damaging to our minds and to our hearts, but as I shared with you, it weakens your heart to be able to do battle with the enemy. And so again, if you are feeling as if you're just under such a heavy weight, I encourage you, think about the words that you're speaking and think about the words that are being spoken over you. It's dangerous. You say, Pastor Dave, I've never been able to control my tongue. Well, if you have said that sentence, then you're not going to be able to. It was Henry Ford that coined the phrase, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Henry Ford said that. So if you believe that you can do something in your life to bring a change because of the power of God in your life, you will. If you think you can't, then you won't, because God gives us a choice. What do words of cursing do to a person? Well, they bring fear, they bring anxiety, they bring despair. They bring confusion, disorientation, a loss of focus and of goals. Paul talks about a lot of this in Galatians. The words you say are critically important, every single one of them. But now, listen. I want you to hear what the words of Isaiah as I start to wrap this up. This is Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. The great prophet, Isaiah, was a powerful man of God. I always look at him as like one of the top three or four in the Old Testament. I got my own list. Isaiah, Elijah, some of these guys. They weren't perfect. But he writes this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." That word proclaim means to speak. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them. Now watch what happens when you speak these words. A crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. The power of God's words, the power of the words coming out of your mouth. Let me share with you just one more thing and then I'll quit. And there are some things here that I'm skipping over. You can go online and check these notes out if you like. But I want to share one of the most stark examples of the duplicity of the tongue. You understand that word duplicity? Two parts. Speaking blessing, speaking cursing. The power of life, the power of death. The year is 1763, and a man by the name of Augustus M. Toplady has just finished writing the lyrics to what would become one of the most beloved hymns of the church. He wrote the words to Rock of Ages. And he wrote these after being inspired. He was living in England. And if you've been to England or know anything about it, I've never been there. I want to get Katerina there. But the weather can change in an instant. It's an island. It's a big island, but it's right there. So weather changes very quickly, and it rains constantly. Well, he got caught in this massive storm, and he was able to find shelter in the cleft or a cliff of rock that he was able to step in and get out of the weather. And so it was during that time that he felt like that God impressed on him to write these words. It's a powerful, moving, biblical tribute to Christ and His finished work of redemption. And yet, this same man who wrote those words, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee," the very man that wrote those words also was cursing a fellow believer at the same time. And not just speaking it, he was writing these things down. He was saying these things against the great 16th century preacher John Wesley, of all people, also the author of many of the great hymns that we sing, one of the co-founders of the Methodism denomination. Wesley is well past 70. To Plaidy is only a young man of less than 30 years old. And yet, listen to the words that he wrote about Wesley. He said, "He is a lurking assassin, guilty of audacity and falsehood, a knave, guilty of mean, malicious impotence. He's an Ishmaelite, a bigot, a papist, a defamer, a reviler, a liar, without the honesty of the heathen, an impudent slanderer with satanic guilt, only exceeded by Satan himself, if even by him." He is an echo of Satan. Wow. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Same man that wrote those words wrote that about Wesley. Now, they obviously had a problem with each other, or at least Toplady did with Wesley. But the point of that is, do you see the depth of what is in you? The depth to be able to proclaim the love of God, to be able to worship Him on a Sunday morning, to be able to sing, to be able to read Scripture, to be able to offer words of comfort to someone who desperately needs them, and yet that's the same tongue that's going to say, "I can't stand that person. She's that. He's this. I'll never." James said it. Brothers and sisters, should not be this way. I want to encourage you, my brothers and my sisters, to begin to think more carefully about the words that you say. It is not necessary for you to always be vindicated. It is not necessary for you to be always right. It's not necessary for you to always fix someone else. And when we release our hearts and our minds and our tongues to those negative things, we are inviting Satan to have a big part in our lives, at least in that moment. Again, James says it shouldn't be that way. And it does not need to be for either any one of us. We have the authority, we have the power given to us by God through Jesus Christ to be able to make the choice to speak words of love, to speak words of encouragement and of kindness. I'm going to talk much more about those words in 2 weeks. But until that time, I want to challenge you over these next 2 weeks. How many times can you catch yourself from speaking those negative words? How many times are you going to be able to, don't do it, because you're hurting that other person? Let's pray together. Well, Father, I thank you for the promises and the goodness of your word. And Father, I thank you now more than anything else is that we do not have to do this on our own. We have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls him a helper. Well, this is what the Holy Spirit is there to help us with, to be able to bridle our tongues, as James says, to be able to hold those words, to be able to see a change in our hearts, Father, so that soon I would pray that we would not even consider saying those words because our hearts are so filled with the presence and the love of God. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are hearing these words. This is not easy. It's very difficult. And God, it's hard for each and every one of us. But Lord, there is nothing that is too hard for you. The Bible tells us that what man considers impossible is always possible with you. We read in Genesis 50 that what the enemy intended for bad, you will take and make for good. So Father, I pray that over each and every one of us, that over these next couple of weeks in particular, Lord, that we will be so concerned, so mindful, that we will not speak negative things about anyone, so that in that we can then speak blessing, as Jesus said. Lord, I pray you go with us. I pray you watch over us, keep us safe. And God, may everything that we say and do in the week to come, may we give you the glory and the honor. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen. Let me tell you one more thing now. And I got to be careful because I don't want to speak negatively over you. There's a chance that you may miss it this week. A chance you may not catch it before it comes out. See, I'm not speaking that negatively. I'm not telling you you're going to blow it. I'm just saying there's a chance you may miss it. Do not let the enemy come and lie to you and tell you you can't do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because every time that it happens, you've got a brand new opportunity to do it right, and that's the first one that's going to carry on. That's why I love baseball so much. Every time you go into the batter's box, it's a brand new chance to be successful. Doesn't matter if I struck out 10 times prior to that. This time, base hit, home run. That's what I want for you. Base hit, home run, each every time it comes up. Next week, come to church, all right? We are going to bless our brother Tom, and we're going to be blessed by him as we take to setting him in a position of ministry. So come and be a part of that, if you will. We all good? Jeff, you all right? All right, we're done. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next week.